You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
You know, I think some of the basketball games that I've enjoyed going to most at Bud Walton Arena have been on these days where there's snowy weather outside and it just gets chaotic. I mean, it's, you know, the parking lots are kind of open to everybody and you might have 25 parking spots in a lot that are covered in snow and, you know, you might drive across the gardens on frozen ground and so we may have something like that Saturday night based on the forecast that we're seeing here for Fayetteville.
Gonna by the way, build an igloo and camp out.
You probably could. Now, you know, it's not just the snow. It's the
yeah, but that's what the igloo's floor for.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a way.
I watch these like nature videos and you know.
By the way, camping. By the way. Lock back into basketball, Anthony. this is going to be our last show of the week. We're not going to have one tomorrow. So we're going to preview this game with LSU today. Arkansas are going to play the Tigers at 7:30 on Saturday night. SEC Network will televise this game. And for people who are wondering, we don't expect that this game time is going to get changed. I mean, I have covered the Razorbacks for over 20 years, and I can only think of one time that a basketball game got changed due to weather, and that wasn't even here in Fayetteville. That was a game, I think it was during the John Pelfrey years. They were supposed to play at Ole Miss on a Saturday night. I can't remember if the weather was bad here or if it was bad there, but basically they said, let's push this to Sunday. It'll be a little bit easier to travel that day, and so they did. So, you know, we get one or two of these a year here in Fayetteville, it seems like, where there's a lot of snow on the ground and a lot of people can't come, and you know, I don't know that they, you know, I'm sure they check the tickets, but you know, they might wave a couple of people like, by and say, hey, you're in the area. Come on in.
Hey, you.
They invite everybody, come watch
some basketball.
They invite everybody in the upper deck to come down and fill the lower bowl. And, those are always fun games. Going back to what I was saying a second ago, I remember, 20 years ago, they played Florida and Florida was number 10. This was the first of back-to-back national championship teams for Florida. Everybody knew that Florida was good, but they didn't know how good. You're right. Joakim Noah, yeah. Al Horford, Corey Brewer was on that team.
Was loaded.
And they were good for a couple of years. And they came in here, and Ronnie Brewer and Jonathan Modica and that group, they played a great game, went to overtime. I think Ronnie Brewer might have hit a layup late in regulation or late in overtime that ended up kind of being the game winner. And Arkansas beat Florida, number 10 team. And the only people who were there were students. I mean, you know, you had some people here in town who got there, but it was mostly just, hey, students, if you're on campus, come on down. Come try to fill this arena up. And I think that's going to be kind of what you see on Saturday. I mean, I've been kind of, you know, looking at the ticket market. Obviously, we've got a message board on our website, and from the sounds of it, this is going to be one of those. Based on if the forecast is correct, that there just probably aren't going to be a whole lot of people that want to get out and brave the elements and come watch this in person.
Yeah, no, I mean, understandably, like, be safe. You know, don't risk your life for basketball.
Well, John Calipari even put a video out today, kind of encouraging fans. Hey, if you can't use them. Like send them to this ticket giveaway or give back program,
and then they're gonna like distribute them to students or something like that. Yeah, I saw that, but yeah, you know, don't.
Hey, good for him. Yeah. Like getting out there 48, you know, 60 hours ahead of time, and you know, kind of making people aware. Hey, this is going to happen, but we don't want to play in an empty basketball arena against an SEC team, no matter how bad they are.
No matter how
it's bad a bad team too, right?
they do kind of. So far in SEC play, stink, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you don't want to, you know, go into it and you know play in front of an empty arena. So I mean, getting tickets to, you know, obviously the students are on campus, so they can walk there. And I mean, it obviously it'd probably be a you know kind of a trudge more than a walk, I guess, because the snow. I think every time it's snowed since I've moved here, it all just kind of comes down one, like all at once. Whereas being up from the St. Louis area kind of disperses throughout the year. Like you get like 5 inches here, 6 inches here. Mm-hmm. Here it's like 20.
Well, we've never gotten the biggest one I could remember, and I couldn't even tell you how many inches we got, but it was well over a foot. It would have been about 15 years ago. I'm 6 foot two, and I'm walking in it, and it's up to my knees. It's up to my knees.
Height, why don't you?
It's up to my knees. Okay,
that's a lot of snow.
I'd be short on this Razorback basketball team, by the way. It's up to my knees, so you know, well over a foot of snow.
That's
during
a lot
that
of snow.
One. But you know, I mean, for the most part, you get. God, 2 inches will shut the schools down here. But we think that this one, according to the weather service, 8 to 12 inches is what they're expecting.
That's a lot of snow.
In our area. And then, obviously, really, really cold.
Really bad down
temperatures.
And then really bad, like,
potential ice
stuff
at down, some point. Yeah, there's like, I don't know where the line of demarcation is in Arkansas, but they're talking about ice in the southern part of the state. So, these weekend crowds, a lot of times you get people from Little Rock and from Hot Springs or wherever, and they want to come up to these games. You're certainly not going to be getting a whole lot of that, if any, this week.
Yeah, no, yeah. Be safe, be mindful, and all that. You're 6 foot two, huh?
I've got my cowboy boots on. I might be about 6'3" today.
Oh, you know, when I was getting my physical done for my going into my freshman year of high school to play soccer, they told me I was like 5'6" at the time. They're like, "Yeah, you're probably going to end up growing to be about 6 foot." I was so excited. I went home that day. I created myself on FIFA, 6 foot. I turned out 5'9".
they say that
doctor should lose his medical license.
I promise we're going to talk about basketball here in just a second. My son, though, they say that a boy at 2.5 is half of his adult height. And so if that ends up holding true, he'd be about 6'6". Because they looked at him like, whoa, that, you know.
Get him in the post.
Yeah, well, that's where he'll. That's
or probably on the wing, actually.
That's where you want to be.
Post player.
Yeah. Yeah. High school. You never know. All right. Let's talk about this game. First off, I want to go back to what we saw a couple of nights ago with Vanderbilt in here. I'd heard all this stuff about Vanderbilt. They're undefeated. They're this. They're that. I know there had been some question about who they had actually played in the non-conference, but I think they're a good team. I don't know that they're a great team. Mm-hmm. I think what we've seen in the last week, when you talk about – you know, potential SEC championship, I think probably you discard them from that. You can't totally eliminate them from the conversation yet, but realistically, where are they going to be in 10 games? I don't think they're going to be there with Florida. I don't think they're going to be there with maybe Alabama, maybe Arkansas. But still, I think it's a good team. It's a team that's certainly going to make it to the NCAA tournament, barring something just crazy happening in conference play. And we've seen this when good teams come into Bud Walton Arena this year, whether it be Tennessee, happened to Louisville, happened to Vanderbilt, may have happened to some of these other teams that they're going to be pretty good and we just didn't realize it at the time. Mm-hmm. They are really good in that building. This feels like the old days with Arkansas at Bud Walton, where, you know, you beat South Carolina by 34 and you're up by 43 and you're beating Vanderbilt by 31 and you end up beating them by 25, and it's the fourth largest win they've ever had over an AP top 25 opponent. I don't know if I'm going to say they're going to go undefeated at home, because I could see where you have an off shooting night and somebody comes in and they're talented and maybe they nab you, but it's hard to see them losing at home right now. And we'll see what happens with the energy in the building with LSU coming in here, and you know, it's easy to overlook a team and maybe you don't play. I just think this has got the recipe for another blowout on Saturday night, potentially, if they're locked in.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that Vanderbilt game, you know, to me, that was the best Arkansas has looked all season, especially relative to the competition, because, you know, I'm still a big believer in that Vanderbilt team, given your matchup particular. I think, you know, Ethan and I talked about that game going into it, and Vanderbilt has struggled against bigger and more athletic teams that are really physical inside. And, you know, obviously Arkansas can be that, Texas can be that, and Florida can be that, and those are the three losses. So, and then Memphis can be that as well, and Memphis brought them to overtime. So, you know, I think that was
not a great Memphis team.
Not a good Memphis team at all. Yeah, worst Memphis team in a while. So I think that's kind of, I guess, the Vanderbilt kryptonite is a big physical team, especially kind of when you're in the post. And yeah, I think that was a big part of it. And Vanderbilt also played the worst I've seen Vanderbilt play this season, which, you know, I've tried to tune into a lot of the Vanderbilt games just because I think the offense Vanderbilt runs is just a ton of fun to watch. And I'm a big Mark Byington fan. But yeah, no, I mean, Arkansas at home this year has been, I mean, for the large part, just outstanding. I mean, you kind of take out the Winthrop and Samford games and nothing has really been that much of a challenge. Obviously, those games ended up being more challenging than potentially, I guess, thought going into it. But, I mean, you look at Winthrop, and, you know, I think that's a quad three win right now. So, I mean, it's not like Winthrop is not Jackson State, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
Not Southern.
But not Southern. Even though that Southern team might still challenge for the SWAC and everything like that. But yeah, and I mean, they, especially against, you know, upper level competition, you know, Louisville and, you know, obviously the SEC games as well. Arkansas has just been really good at home. And yeah, I mean, you protect home court is kind of one of the biggest things once you get into conference play. And to this point, they've done that with quite flying colors. And, you know, I'm not sure what to expect on Saturday, given the weather and everything that kind of goes into it. But, you know, obviously you would think that they're going to be, you know, a heavy favorite over an LSU team that's really struggled of late and all that.
But you remember after the Tennessee game, you and I were talking about they got off to a bad start. They're down 7-0 against Tennessee. And I said at some point these bad starts are going to come back and bite them. Mm-hmm. And how long can they continue to keep Malik Thomas out of the starting lineup? Well, I think after it got him against Georgia, that's when the decision was made the other day to put him into the starting lineup for the Vanderbilt game. And they couldn't have started the game any better. Well, yeah. They go on like an 11-0 run, mm-hmm. almost right out of the gate, and it's 13-2. And
offensively, Vanderbilt, defensively, both just look great.
Yeah. Vanderbilt didn't have a chance mm-hmm. after the way the first, you know, 3 minutes of the game went. I think that what we saw in that game the other day, they're going to have to keep Thomas in the starting lineup mm-hmm. and, you know, have another game where you can kind of get a rotation. You know, I know the rotation is going to change from game to game, but where you can get a rotation that's usable and, you know, that you kind of have a feel for how to sub guys going into that road game against OU in the midweek next week. I think that what they found the other day on a number of levels with Thomas starting, I liked what they did putting DJ Wagner at the point and running Darius Acuff as the off guard whenever they were in the game together. It seemed like DJ, it's the same thing we talked about last year. Totally different player when he's running the point than when you're trying to play him as the two guard. Mm-hmm. And he's a better scorer when he's running the point. You know, I thought what they did the other day from a personnel standpoint was what they need to do moving forward. Now, there may come a time where that's not working and you got to change things up again. But based on what they did to Vanderbilt the other day, I think that you got to have Malik Thomas in the game and, you know, see if you can hit LSU with that sledgehammer early, like you did Vanderbilt.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably, I would agree with that. And I'm probably expecting it going into the game. And John Calipari post game after the Vanderbilt game said that he made the change in the starting lineup. Yeah, obviously, you know, for the benefit of Malik Thomas, but more so for the benefit of DJ Wagner to get him going more. And obviously, I think that had the desired effects on both sides of that, because, I mean, obviously, I thought Malik Thomas was really good, and he started 4-for-4 from the field, and I thought defensively he looked really good as well. Mm-hmm. And then DJ Wagner comes in, you know, he's, you know, running the point when he's in, especially with the second unit, and I thought that was the best he's looked in quite some time. And obviously you're going to be paying attention, you know, to him more when he has the ball in his hand. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, playing in an off ball role that he's done well, but, you know, I think, you know, it's unquestionable that he is, you know, better with the ball in his hands than without. And, you know, that's just the second time in his college career he's come off the bench. The other time was his freshman year against Gonzaga when he missed the three previous games with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just kind of a guy who, you know, he kind of does what he's asked to do, it seems. And, you know, he just takes what comes and he, you know, does what he can with it. And, you know, you need guys like that on your team. And, you know, even then, I mean, he's still shooting, you know, a career high from the 3-point line, you know, 35%, which, you know, you still want to see that go up. But, you know, he's still the best so far of his career. And, you know, there's, you know, other aspects of his game as well. But yeah, no, yeah, I just kind of
when we did
talking.
That midseason analysis, I think it was before they went to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I made a comment, and I still believe this, that there's going to be a game where DJ Wagner, you look up and he scored 15, 17, 18 points, And you know, he did that the other night against, but they didn't need it necessarily against Vanderbilt. But there's going to be a game, I think, where you look up and he's got a stat line like that. You know, maybe he has four or five assists as a point guard too. And you're like, wow, that helped get you over the edge and beat this team.
Yeah, no, I could certainly see that happening. And obviously we saw that a lot last year when he took over the primary point guard role when Boogie Flam went down. And that's kind of when the turnaround happened, is when DJ Wagner started getting
it
the ball more.
It was necessary last year because of Boogie getting hurt. I give a lot of credit to the coaches, and we'll see if this was just a one-game aberration. I don't want to, as John Pelfrey used to say, let's put the anointing oil away right now. But we'll see if you get this same level of DJ. And I don't expect it every game. But we'll see if maybe you get better play out of him more frequently. If you do, then I think you look back at this and you say, hey, kudos to the coaching staff for not just allowing the status quo to persist, to go out and say, hey, look, there's a way, you're playing okay, but there's a way to really unlock better play in here too.
Yeah, no, especially against Vanderbilt, I thought it was a really good adjustment. And you know, we talk about him so much offensively. I thought he did a really nice job guarding against Duke Miles, who's been a big part of that Vanderbilt team and its offense and its defense as well. But, he comes in and he's the primary ball handler for that second unit. And obviously when he was sharing the floor with Darius Acuff, he kind of had more of the ball in his hands as well. So yeah, it's a good adjustment for sure.
That's two John Pelfrey references on today's podcast. If you had that on your bingo card, congratulations.
Still coaching over at Tennessee Tech?
We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They're committed, professional, versatile, and they've been serving Bentonville since 1971. You can find them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Great quality product there at Bentonville Glass. Arkansas women's basketball in action tonight. They're going to play Georgia at Bud Walton Arena. That's going to be a 6:30 tip-off. One scheduling note just to make people aware of if they are going to this. The gymnastics meet against SEMO has been moved from a 7:15 start to a 1 o'clock start on Friday afternoon over at Bud Walton Arena. That's with the weather in mind. Of course, we don't expect any changes as of right now with the LSU basketball game or the Texas women's basketball game, which will be played Sunday at Bud Walton Arena. I know that Ethan talked to somebody at Texas today, and they said that Texas is actually coming in a day early to get ahead of these storms or of the snow. So they're going to have an extra day in Fayetteville. You look at LSU. They're 1-5 in the SEC. Their one win is over Missouri. They could easily have two wins. Mm-hmm. Kentucky beat them with a Christian Laettner shot about a week or so ago to win that game there in Baton Rouge. But I don't know if I would say they're the SEC's worst team, but OU might be giving them a challenge this year, which is kind of interesting that that's Arkansas's next opponent over in Norman next week. But what have you seen from LSU? Why is it not clicking for them under Matt McMahon when he was so celebrated when he came there, had that success at Murray State, Coach Ja Morant, I think even had a little bit of early success with LSU. What has regressed in that program?
Yeah, I think the first thing you look at, especially this season, is the offense just hasn't really been clicking in SEC play, especially. You know, they scored a lot of points in the non-conference, and a lot of those points came against, Prairie View A&M and Tarleton State and Alcorn State. So, I mean, you get, obviously, the offense is clicking in those games. But then when you look at, how they've played against, some of the upper tier competition. They played a neutral site against Texas Tech and lost 82-58, excuse me. And then in SEC play, I mean, they gave Texas A&M a battle, and I've kind of raved about how well Texas A&M has played of late. Didn't get necessarily blown out by Vanderbilt, but still an 11-point game on the road. Should have won that Kentucky game, if we're being fully honest. I mean, they kind of choked that one away, and then, kind of got killed by Florida, but I just think the offense has been pretty bad defensively. They don't generate a lot of turnovers, so they don't get out and transition a ton. I mean, not that that's really their game by any means. I mean, they play a pretty slow tempo. kind of similar to South Carolina, but not really one in the same. But they try to slow the game down and kind of try to, I guess, force you to beat them in the half court, which is similar to what South Carolina did, and or does, I should say. But yeah, it's just, you know, defensively, they don't generate a lot of turnovers. You know, they're a really pretty poor three-point defense team as well. You know, going inside, I mean, teams don't really get a lot of looks at the rim. So, I mean, Arkansas is probably going to be looking to generate a lot of looks from three and from the mid-range for Darius Acuff and guys, you know, Malik Thomas and everything and all those guys as well. But yeah, it's just not really worked out that well. I mean, when you look at, you know, Matt McMahon's Murray State teams, especially that last one that won the NCAA tournament game, beat Todd Golden's San Francisco team in the first round in one of the best games of that tournament, if you remember. But, I mean, that offense was, you know, rated 34 in the country and, you know, was awesome to see. And then you get to LSU, it's year four, and, you know, the offense has only cracked the top 100 once so far. Right now they're rated number 40 in adjusted offense. So, I mean, maybe it stays like that, but I mean, the defenses have been rated lower than 60 or 64 or lower so far every year. And yeah, it's just, they just haven't really been able to put everything together so far, it seems. And, you know, and he kind of walked into a tough situation at LSU too, because when he, you know, got hired, you know, that was when all of the Will Wade LSU stuff was happening and, you know, strong offers and such, which I don't know if I'm allowed to say the middle word of that.
A strong ass offer. I said it for you.
All right, there we go. Strong ass offer.
You're not
going to
get in trouble with your mom. Well, now you are. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mom. But yeah, so I mean, they had, you know, a lot of uncertainty kind of hovering over the program at that time. So, I mean, it's a tough situation to walk into, but I mean, ever since then, I mean, it just hasn't really been all that great. I mean, they've only finished above 500 once, and that was 17-16. And,
yeah, I said he had some early success. I remembered them being a little bit better that year. I didn't realize that ended up being their final record. They went 9-9 in the SEC that season, which, I mean, a 500 record in the SEC, I think, is pretty respectable. I didn't realize that it was like he's on the hot seat.
Yes,
right. I mean,
which has been pretty explicitly said by the athletics director there too. Just like, I don't remember the exact phrasing that was used, but they came out and said, yeah, if they don't make the NCAA tournament, we're going to have to reevaluate.
Was this before
like
or after Brian Kelly was fired as the football coach?
It was after. This was, I believe, after the turn of the new year.
Okay,
if I remember correctly. So, yeah, it's a, you know,
because they got the new AD as part of the whole.
Yeah, so it's a tough situation. Obviously, you don't want to see people lose their jobs and everything like that, but, you know, it's urgent at LSU for Matt McMahon, it seems. And, you know, obviously the 1-5 start to SEC play hasn't helped. They've had some injury troubles too. I mean, Dayden Thomas was, you know, a pretty highly regarded guy coming out of the portal, and he only just returned for the Florida game. And Jalen Reed's missed a lot of time, and I believe he's still out. And yeah, it's just not really clicked, it seems. And yeah, it seems pretty urgent there.
Just Will Wade was way ahead of the curve.
He knew what was happening.
I just want you to think about like that and him losing his job at LSU because of that.
And now it's
you've got Kiffin and Mulkey and Jay Johnson in baseball, and I mean
And now everything he did also is legal.
Dripping in irony.
Now everything is allowed.
By the way,
quite literally everything is allowed, it seems.
So. LSU got beat by Florida real bad the other night by 18. Is Florida, are they the team to beat now in the SEC?
Yes.
And where did that maybe here's another question, a follow up. Were they ever not the team to beat? Did we overlook Florida too much because of what happened to them early in the SEC season and in non-conference play?
I think so. Yeah. I would say yeah, definitely. I mean,
because you think they're going into the SEC, and well, they lost to UConn and they lost to Duke and they lost to these good teams,
Arizona,
and then they go to Mizzou and get beat, and didn't look particularly good in doing it.
Yeah, that Mizzou team just refuses to decide if it wants to be good or not. It's mesmerizing to see.
But so I mean, it feels like that Missouri game kind of validated the suspicion that we had about Florida coming out of non-conference.
Yeah, but then, but since then,
but I don't think they've lost, right?
Yeah, no, they've won five games in a row. Most of them, the only one that wasn't by double figures was Vanderbilt, and I mean they've just kind of been kicking the crap out of teams. And you know, I think I said it on this podcast or some podcast, like I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Florida just yet because I think those guards can figure it out and put it together. And you know, they haven't been perfect by any means, but mm-hmm. you know, it does kind of seem like they've turned that corner, and Boogie Fland has started to play better, and Xavier Lee started to play better. And you know, they've always had, in my eyes, the best front court in the country, at least on paper, with the returning production that they had. Thomas Haug is looking like an All-American. And I mean, obviously they've got Rupen Chinyelu and Alex Condon and Mecca Hanglogden, you know, still on that team from last year's national championship team. So it was always a matter of, you know, Florida putting it together in the backcourt. And yeah, I mean, they're really starting to do that. I mean, Urban Klavsar's kind of come into it, and he's had a bigger role than he did last year. And, you know, I think that's been part of it. And yeah, no, I've always, and I think I've said it, that I still felt, yeah, you asked me if there was a team outside of the Arkansas, Alabama, Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. and I said Florida.
Well,
I remember
we said,
that.
We said don't sleep on Kentucky either.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're starting to kind of show
a little bit. To turn it around
that's
as well.
That's quite the little humble brag you had there, too. I don't know if it was this podcast or not. I get invited on so many podcasts that... Yeah, everybody wants to hear my opinion.
I don't know about that.
Looking around at the SEC schedule this weekend, Tennessee at Alabama, that's the game of the weekend.
That's the game of the weekend, and especially with the the Charles Bediako news.
Yeah, that's right.
With all of that, and yeah, we don't have to.
We can
wax poetic.
Well,
about
we can
that
talk more about that when Arkansas gets ready to play Alabama.
If he's allowed to play by that time, because the injunction or the ruling or whatever, it's like going to come like after the Tennessee game. So it's just like the temporary.
So as of right now, he can
like,
play.
Yes. And it might just
be. But we don't know if that's going to be.
It might just be the Tennessee game that he's allowed to play.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think it matters how talented somebody is. There isn't anybody out. Maybe like an NBA All-Star can do this. They can step in and they're going to make a huge difference. I don't feel like there's anybody that's going to step in and make like this giant difference when they haven't practiced with the team mm-hmm. and they. I understand the concern. I understand everything that surrounds that, the talk of should this even be permissible mm-hmm. in college basketball. The talk about this is going to make Alabama above and beyond better, I don't know that I buy that because I still think that there's so much value in
building
being
the
a
chemistry
team
and
having chemistry. Yeah.
But there is, you know, obviously, you know, he was, you know, an elite rim protector when he was in college and everything along those lines.
When he was in college the first time.
Yeah. Yes.
Back when he was in college. Now that
he's
back.
That's what Alabama has been missing is rebounding and rim protection. So I mean, you understand why, you know, Nate Oates is I guess doing this. But
yeah.
We'll see if it's permissible because I mean the NCAA kind of came out and was like.
They don't want this happening. And the coaches don't want this. Like
yeah.
I say the coaches, obviously there's Scott Drew and there's you know, there's Nate Oates and I'm sure there's some others who would love to be able to bend this rule. But I think the majority of the coaches do not want to see this. And Calipari went he wrote the editorial for the Washington Post last week that, you know, really spoke out against this and laid out some basically it wasn't just griping that this is happening. It was, hey, this is happening, and here are some ways that you can fix it. If you haven't read that, I would certainly recommend that you do.
It's an interesting read, yeah. But yeah, it's just like, oh. But yeah, the NCAA was like, if you signed an NBA contract, you're not getting college eligibility. Well, Charles Bediako has signed multiple NBA contracts. It wasn't just – I mean, he didn't get drafted, so it's not – James Nagy at Baylor did get drafted, but he never signed an NBA contract. Charles Bediako went undrafted, but then signed NBA Exhibit mm-hmm. 10 contracts. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe a two-way, but he's never played in the NBA. So it's an interesting case. And obviously, you know, nobody necessarily wants to hear my opinion, but I'm very much against
well,
it.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Everybody's willing to push the limits. Or there are people who want to push the limits and see how far they can change college sports. Real quick, the other games in the SEC this week, early games, you got Ole Miss at Kentucky, Georgia goes to Texas, Oklahoma's at Missouri, South Carolina at Texas A&M, Auburn goes to Florida, kind of an interesting game just mm-hmm. because Auburn does have the talent, even if they're not you know, playing particularly well, and Vanderbilt goes to Mississippi State. Maybe that might be, like, I don't know that Mississippi State beating Vanderbilt would necessarily be this, would qualify as this huge upset, but it does feel like that is upset, or that's an area where you could see the ranked team go on the road and lose that game with how things have been going for Vanderbilt here lately. And, you know, you've got the, you know, they have the quick turnaround coming to Fayetteville, then they go back to Nashville, then they have to turn around and go back, you know, now to Mississippi State. It just feels like one of those games where that's going to be tough for the road team to win.
Yeah, Mississippi State's an interesting one because it kind of seems like Josh Hubbard versus the world. And Josh Hubbard is awesome. He's one of my favorite players in college basketball to watch. And, you know, he's like my height, so it's kind of cool. I mean, and they've got Jaden Epps as well, but, you know, Chora is there too. But, I mean, it really is kind of the Josh Hubbard show, and he doesn't really have much of a surrounding cast. But yeah, no, they're capable of going and knocking off teams. Like, they beat Texas on the road, which was, you know, a tricky place to play, as we saw with Vanderbilt going there and losing. They beat Oklahoma, which Oklahoma kind of looks like it might stink, but...
Let's put a bow on this. LSU comes here. I don't know what the betting line is. It's too early to even look. College basketball betting lines don't come out that far in advance. I'm not going to say Arkansas's got to win this by 20 to feel good, but I feel like you need to go out and, you know, if you can beat Vanderbilt like that and you can beat Tennessee like that in your home arena, you darn sure ought to be able to beat LSU pretty, you know, not struggle with them too much at home.
Yeah, no, and I think it's important for them to go out and show the consistency they need, right? Yeah. I mean, right now they're kind of in a win-loss, win-loss, win kind of pattern. So, you know, go out and show that you've got this consistency, right? Especially against an LSU team that you are, no disrespect to LSU, fully expected to beat, right? Mm-hmm. So I think
They're going to be, I would guess, at least a 12, 13
you would think point so, yeah.
Favorite.
So, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's important for Arkansas to go and show that consistency and that they, you know, can have that consistency. So, I think that's a big, important aspect of the game. As for, you know, what the matchup is, I mean, I think you're going to have to rely on the three-pointer a little bit just because LSU has done a good job of, you know, defending the paint and you know, doing that. You know, mid-range shots, which, you know, I know it analytically can be a little ambiguous. You know, some spots are better than others. Yeah, I think you're going to need to rely on that, especially with Darius Acuff and how just kind of good he is in the mid-range. So I think you're going to need to rely on that and the three-point line, just because, I mean, LSU has not defended the three well, but it has defended the post pretty well and has kind of forced teams into more longer range twos. But, I mean, Arkansas has obviously shown that it can play that way. And, LSU also can get into foul trouble. So, I mean, don't abandon, like, the driving game at all. But, yeah.
Again, it's going to be a 7:30 tip-off on Saturday night. SEC Network, you can read all of our coverage at wholehogsports.com. Quick reminder, no podcast tomorrow. We'll be back next week to wrap this up and look forward to that game with Oklahoma. Have a great weekend, everybody.